This is Game Time AM. Now, back to Brad Lee and Jeff Jones from St. Louis Game Time on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Well, Coheed and Cambria bringing you back to Game Time AM here on 590 The Fan, KFNS 105.7 HD2, streaming live on InsideSTL.com. I'm Jeff, Matt's over there, Brad's out again this morning, and this song, if we're talking about things that bring you back to stuff, this song was a Rock Band song. It might have actually been Rock Band 2.
I was more of a Guitar Hero guy.
Okay, so I was big into the Rock Band. When I was in college, and it nearly got us evicted from an apartment. had a second floor apartment. You hit the drum pedal a little too hard, and the downstairs neighbor was not real happy.
That's how you know you're doing it right, though.
Yeah, it was either that or it was the massive clouds.
You can't be timid with those drum sets. If you take it easy on them, then
it doesn't register right. You really got to hammer it in. That was a fun year, a fun apartment, but. Mm-hmm. I don't know that necessarily it was composed of, like, the smartest people in the world. Our dishwasher used to overflow every time we ran it.
Mm-hmm. You still kept running it, huh?
Well, we kept running it because we thought that we could, you know, two birds, one stone, so it would overflow.
Oh, no.
And we would just mop the kitchen floor with the water that overflowed out of the dishwasher. Was that dirty dishwater? Yeah, probably. Were we mopping the floor with dirty dishwater?
But it gets it so hot that it's kind of clean again.
I mean,
though, right?
Like, yeah, I don't.
Yeah, there's
I don't
food
know that
in
was,
it, but it's clean water.
I don't know that it was great for the linoleum to, like.
Yeah, it probably wasn't.
Yeah, probably not. We also, and this is, I swear to you, a true story. We're on the second floor, and there was a balcony. So you walked upstairs, basically, and, you know, there was like a little wooden balcony you walked into to go to the front door of the apartment.
Right.
And the banister of it was basically. Two sheets of plywood with a 2x8 across the top of it.
Oh, nice.
So there was, you know, it was gussied up, right? But that's basically the construction. So there was a hole in the banister rail, and my roommates both smoke cigarettes, and so rather than having an ashtray or responsibly, and that seems like he's gonna look on his face here, knows where this is going, they would nub out their cigarettes on the rail and then drop them in the hole.
Mm-hmm.
So shockingly. After months of dropping cigarette filters into a wood enclosed box, one was still a little bit lit and went into the hole, and the balcony caught on fire.
Yeah,
yeah, I mean, just up in and like
basically a bed of coals with all the cigarette butts.
I mean, right? And it was like I don't know how you count the number of alarms that are in. Well, you call 911, and the fire department shows up. And busts out your balcony with a fire axe and sprays it down with the fire chemicals and then sprays everyone in your apartment complex's car with fire chemicals.
So are you excited to see that process happen and see them save the day like that? Or are you like embarrassed hiding in the corner?
Okay, so it was fascinating, but then it was terrifying because it was like, oh my God, we're going to burn the building down.
Right.
And then that didn't happen. Then it was, oh my God, this is going to cost a lot of money.
Right.
And that sort of didn't happen, but I did end up going like door to door the next day, passing out like... $20 a person so people could get their car washed because I felt a little guilty about that.
Okay.
Right?
I mean, that's nice of you.
But I didn't know what else to do, man. Like their cars were covered and like it wasn't just water, like it was like the fire extinguisher stuff, right? I mean they busted it out too with the axe. Busted the whole thing down. Like the landlord came out the next day. I mean, I've never been read the riot.
Now, was it clear to the landlord and to the firemen what had happened? What caused the fire?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because let me tell you, I ran out my roommates in a real big hurry. Because I was not about to be held right. Because I was like, I do not smoke.
Like, those darn smokers.
I was like, that has nothing to do with me. That is absolutely not my problem. And as a Roman Texan, to tell me that I'm a genius and he's not wrong. So, Ward Cleaver texting in. To say, why don't they play sudden death overtime in regular season games? They do.
Okay.
They do that.
You score a goal in overtime in a regular season game, and then the game was over. I think what he's asking is why don't they play the
in playoffs?
I think he's asking why doesn't overtime go until the game ends in the regular season? And the answer is that it would be, I think, a massive grind, right? You see these playoff games go at a double, triple overtime. Maybe you get two or three of those per team in a playoff season. Yeah. But if you're getting two or three of those every 15 games, you're talking about, 10 to 12 of those games over the course of a season. That's a lot of extra.
You think it
would
happen that frequently with the 3-on-3 play?
I think it probably would, because I also think that you see teams opening up a little more because they know they have the shootout to fall back on, right? So I think if it was just sudden, you would see a lot more hesitance, and you would see a lot more teams.
Well, the 3-on-3 overtime, there's been a lot more finishes in overtime that don't end up going to shootouts.
That massively cut down on the shootout.
Right. It was the lowest total since the shootout was brought in, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah. The Blues only went to 4 shootouts the entirety of the year, which is pretty crazy. Well, and
so they didn't even need TJ Oshie.
And the disparity is crazy, too, because I believe that Philadelphia went to close to 15 of them, so it's pretty crazy.
Okay.
Text from the 314 says, why not go 10 minutes of 3-on-3? Hard for me to believe that someone won't score in 10 minutes of 3-on-3. I think that they're probably would increase that scoring rate. I just think that any increase on the number of minutes played is going to get pushback from the NHLPA, number one, because of the injury risk. It's probably not great for the ice. I mean, whatever. But also, I mean, look, as silly as it sounds, the NHLPA will be of the position that the contracts pay for a certain amount of time and a certain length of games. If you make games longer, they're going to want more money.
Yeah.
Even if it's just 5 minutes of overtime, they're going to demand an adjustment.
It's only
of the
theoretically
contracts.
Longer, though.
Sure, but the fact that they would be committing to that extra length of game, I guarantee you there would be some sort of
sense,
salary.
3-on-3, there's a lot more ice, more ground for each player to cover. So you extend that to 10-minute overtime, then they're going to be exerting a lot more.
Yeah, and I think that there's almost no chance that the union would just shrug.
I think even the teams themselves wouldn't necessarily want their guys doing that.
Right.
I mean, why put their players through that when it's really not necessary?
Ward Cleaver says they do in every other sport. I don't know what that means. I guess the NBA plays so there's a winner. They don't do it in football. Football has ties. That's definitely a thing. And in fact, the NFL just trimmed overtime down this week. Turned it down from 15 minutes to 10, I believe, for overtime now in the NFL.
Oh, really?
So you might see an increase in ties.
I hope not. Ties in NFL football is just one of the dumbest things in sports, in my opinion.
I do wonder why the NFL can't do. I mean, closer to college football, right? Where you basically just go back and forth until you have an unanswered score.
Right. So, I read something yesterday. I don't remember who was talking about it. Sorry.
Yeah.
But they suggested an overtime where basically both teams get the ball.
Yes.
And then whoever scores a touchdown the fastest is the one that wins.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So it just basically means
the ball rapid fire go.
There's no down in distance.
Right. No down in distance, nothing like that. Just get the ball and score a touchdown.
I think that there are probably some, I don't know, there are some immediate flaws that come to mind there. Number one, you'd have a lot more. I mean, obviously you'd have defensive teams sitting on players in piles, right? You'd have a lot more of that delay stuff going on. I wonder what they do with defensive touchdowns, right? Like if you throw a pick six, is the game just over?
That should be over, I would think.
Okay, so that's
automatically
defense
wins. So
that's fair. Yeah, I mean, so I don't know. There are things to sort out.
It's a thought.
There.
I would prefer to see that happen, every other week or so, rather than seeing a tie happen 2 times a season.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, to me, I think a lot of those overtime fixes, whether it's for the NHL or whether it's for the NFL or whatever, I think a lot of those are solutions looking for problems. Like, I just don't see a huge issue with the way that games are decided now that would necessitate that, right? Like, I think with the NHL, they went to 3-on-3 because teams were not happy with the shootout and because overtime was getting boring because everyone was just playing for the shootout, right? Everyone was clearly not attempting to score goals in overtime, which made them pretty unbearable. So
has that really changed? Because I remember, 10 years ago, they would just go all out in overtime because they didn't care. There wasn't a shootout to fall back on, and they just went all out for offense and sacrificed defense a lot of times.
Yeah, I do wonder if maybe that was in the days before you got a point for an overtime loss.
I think it was.
Right?
I think that was probably before.
Yeah, so if you don't have that guaranteed point, then you're going to try to fire it out there to try to grab one. But if you already have that point guaranteed, then maybe it makes more sense
right.
to sit
so
back.
So adding the shootout kind of took away the motivation to really go all out in the overtime. It really kind of shot themselves in the foot.
That definitely is what happened. I think that they wanted to have a definitive result for every game. They wanted, you know, for whatever reason, the NHL decided that ties were not acceptable. And I think part of it was with the decrease in scoring in the late 90s, you were seeing, again, this is off the top of my head, so maybe the metrics don't bear me out here, mm-hmm. but I would think that you were seeing more ties as teams were playing a more defensive style.
Right.
And so the NHL, in an attempt to discourage that, eliminated the tie, and they thought that would, okay, look, you're guaranteed your point, now go try to win the game, and it didn't necessarily
They didn't look at all the
result.
Different angles of ways things this would end up affecting
well
other areas.
It should not be shocking that the NHL administration did not examine all of the angles of right. the possible situation. That is sort of the way, you know, that's why they call it the garage league.
My biggest problem with the whole thing is the point distribution for overtime games. You
yeah.
know, getting a point for, you know, losing a game, I'm not a fan of.
I've heard suggestions, you know, you get 3 points for a regulation win, two mm-hmm. points for an overtime win. That's maybe one way to handle that. So you keep the overtime loss point, but you add a point for
right.
regulation wins. I don't know. I think at some point, honestly, you run into a problem where you're making the standings too complicated for regular people to understand.
If they switched it that way?
I legitimately do wonder if that would be a concern.
Don't you think that some of these teams' point totals are a little bit skewed, and, you know,
sure.
their records and really how good of a team they actually are is kind of skewed, because say they got 10 to 15 points this season in losses.
Right.
You know, so that really shouldn't count.
Nashville was one of those teams. Nashville, I think, was 42-40, right? If you break down the
right.
number of overtime losses they had like 10 or 12 overtime losses.
Well, that's a bad
season.
Example to fit my point.
Well, no, but that's what I'm saying, is that like a team like Nashville gets all those extra points and then goes on a run to the Cup Finals, right?
Yeah.
And that's directly attributable to the loser point. I mean, mm-hmm.
that's not going to happen in most cases, but
right.
you know, I don't like it. I think it makes teams look better than they actually are.
For sure.
And I think it shows that it doesn't show the real divide between some of these teams.
No, I mean, I agree. I think that it was all part of a move toward parity, and I don't know, maybe the league has achieved that now. Maybe
too much parity.
That's reasonable, because you know what? Now you create a situation where teams are bunched closely together, and you have crazy results in the draft lottery, for example, like you got this year, where you have Dallas and Philadelphia making huge jumps to the top of the draft that are going to be, you know, that directly affects those teams for many years to come. But yeah, a text from the 618 pointing out that Nashville would not be in the playoffs if not for the loser point. That's true. And I would imagine that Nashville would be a betting favorite against Ottawa and an underdog to Pittsburgh, would be my guess, depending on the result of the game this evening.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's fair, but at the same time, I think it's hard to put them as an underdog to anybody at this point.
I agree.
So it's really weird because, you know, take away the loser point, they're not in the playoffs, but at the
right.
same time, you can't say they don't deserve to be here.
Well, and you know, and an interesting thing to consider when we're talking about the Predators, if they were to play the Penguins, for example, Pittsburgh is in a situation now like the Blues were last year, where they've gone to game sevens and back-to-back rounds,
right.
where perhaps they didn't have to, right? They could have closed the door mm-hmm. on the Capitals in six, they could have closed the door on the Senators in six, and they didn't, and these extra games add up, whereas the Predators swept the first round, Blues in six, Ducks in six, so the Predators are limiting the number
Feeling
of games
pretty
they have
good.
To play. Yeah, so I do wonder to what extent those extra games saved will have an effect for Nashville. And
yeah.
you'll see it directly in game one of the finals. I think that you can probably expect to see Mike Fisher in the lineup for game one, which they get to do because they've had the time off, and he can rest and recover and gets him a chance to get through his baseline testing and be in a position to play in that game. You know, they'll be without Fiala and Johansson. Those are season-ending
right.
injuries. But Nashville should be able to largely get healthy. Craig Smith is going to be back, probably playing in game one of the Cup Finals, and so it will be. It'll be really interesting to see how that extra rest ends up benefiting them. Speaking of rest, the ninth floor Stiefel Hoosier texting in to say that both sides obviously will talk this offseason about the week-long break. I think that actually has already been addressed. To my recollection, the NHL has a new system for scheduling now. I believe it's going to be that teams in a given division will all be on a bye at roughly the same time, mm-hmm. so that it doesn't chop up a schedule as unevenly and doesn't create disparity come the end of the season in terms of where that rest came in. So I, you know, that week long break I think was a big benefit for a lot of teams. With no Olympics, again, apparently, clearly no Olympics coming up this next season for the NHL. They're not going to have the 2 weeks off that you would usually have in this kind of season. And so, you know, they're committed, I think, for sure, to these bye weeks. I think it was part of the negotiations that allowed the CBA to be extended. But, yeah, obviously there needs to be some adjustment to create a little more equity in terms of how those breaks affect those teams. So, yeah, I mean, when you, you know, you look at all of the little tweaks that you can make, that you can make to the scheduling and to the gameplay, ultimately there are always going to be adjustments, right? There's no way to create a system that can't be gamed. And so, you know, either you make the decision that the league wants to try to stay one step ahead, or you make the decision that the league will accept play as it is and they're content with what's going on. And that's hard to decide. Text from the 618 says, the loss of Johansson will hurt if they play Ottawa, especially Ottawa's defense will stifle the Nashville forwards, who were a much bigger part of the win over the Ducks. You know,
I have to agree with that.
That's fair. The Pittsburgh defense is not as strong, clearly, as the Ottawa defense, I think, at this point. With, you know, with no Letang, Justin Schultz is hurt. You know, you're looking at Ian Cole and Brian Dumoulin. I mean, there's not, you know, mm-hmm. there's not a lot of, you know, Ron Hainsey. There's not a lot of guys on that back end for Pittsburgh that really scare you, whereas Ottawa can run at you with Carlson and Phaneuf and Mark Mathot and Cody Ceci. There mm-hmm. are some big, strong defensemen on that Ottawa team that could really break up what the Preds have going, especially because, you know, the Nashville forwards are small. Victor Arvidsson is a tiny, tiny guy. And that's where the offense is going to have to flow through if you're Nashville. It's small guys like Arvidsson, and it's guys that have either been hurt or that aren't really very experienced. And so it will be difficult, I think, to get through that. I don't think that it will end up mattering, because I don't think that Ottawa's going to win this evening. I think that
right.
I think it probably comes to an end tonight. I have a hard time imagining the Penguins losing a game 7 at home to this Ottawa team. Boy, that would
yeah, I agree. I'd love to see Ottawa win. I would love to see Ottawa win. I really would.
I agree. I mean,
you can't go against Pittsburgh at this point.
You can't. We joked about it earlier in the playoffs. What would be basically the worst case scenario outcome for the NHL in terms of
Nashville Ottawa? Wasn't it?
Yeah, even from all 16 teams, I would think that it would have to be Nashville and Ottawa is the worst possible. Because even if you have Edmonton in there, you have McDavid, right? You have the guy who's going to win the MVP in the league this year.
You can hype that up real well.
Yeah, I don't know. And related to that, the Baldwin Bottom Feeder texting in to say, do you think that the NHL likes the Predators in the final? You know, I don't know. So the ratings in Nashville have been, I think, now up in like the mid-teens, right? Like low 16s or so. So they're getting decent local ratings. It does speak to the Southern development strategy, right? The Predators have been in the league for a little less than 20 years, and they've built the team patiently. They've been consistent, and they've created this. You know, they have now, we've heard all about all the massive fan support. I did see going into the playoffs, the Predators had about 10,000 season ticket, either full season accounts or equivalents. And apparently they have sold 2,500 additional during the playoff run. That's pretty massive. That's a 25% increase in the number of full season tickets sold due to this playoff run. So I think it does demonstrate that there is ability for the league to grow when you see success with these Southern teams. Now, obviously, Nashville is not a massive TV market. You know, it's not. Would they have liked to have had the LA market involved? Yeah, sure. They always obviously love to have Chicago involved, but once you get past, you know, L.A., Anaheim, Chicago, maybe San Jose, I think that Nashville is probably the market they would want the most, because as the Baldwin Bottom Feeder texts in again, and I think he's right, Nashville's a growing city. They're probably not too upset about it. Yeah, I agree with that. I think that the other thing that is really interesting about this is, you know, as much as we laugh at it and as silly as it is, the Titans' offensive line showing up to these Predators games and ripping their shirts off and waving catfish around, I actually do think the league likes that as well, because it's, you know, for whatever reason, in SEC country where the Predators are at, somehow involving the football team with the hockey team creates a layer of credibility that perhaps would not have otherwise existed. Whether or not, as a hockey fan, you want that to be the case, it is certainly true that the closer they get to football, the more that folks in the South are going to be interested. And so I think that that community engagement with the Titans has created a lot of goodwill. So I do think that the NHL will be using this for sure as a test, basically. Okay, you know, we get a deep Southern team involved. You know, they've had Tampa a couple of times. They had Carolina, but that was sort of a disaster. That, you know, that hasn't created any sustainable success for that team. So I do think there is a reasonable chance that the league gets a lot out of this opportunity and creates Nashville as a fixture, because that opening exists. The league needs one of the Southern markets to really step up and be the sort of bellwether that shows this can work and this is how you build a fan base. And I think the Predators are doing that. And, you know, like, I understand the annoyance with the chants and the music and the juvenile stuff. I get all of that. We've had people on who have described it as kind of a college football atmosphere. And I think that the NHL wants that. I think that they want that sort of, I don't know,
open, it's probably pretty exciting, good for building rivalries as,
yeah,
well.
For sure. Especially. It definitely creates a situation where the Predators have arrived now and someone has to take them seriously.
Yes, exactly.
So we're coming to the end of the week here on Game Time AM, and Hall of Famer Dave texting in to say that Ottawa Calgary would have been the worst of the finals for the NHL. Maybe. I don't know. Two Canadian teams is something. It definitely is bad for U.S. TV markets for sure. Coming to the end of the week here on Game Time AM, we're going to have, you know, Memorial Day on Monday, so we're not going to be in on Monday. We should be coming at you Tuesday. A lot of exciting stuff going on this week for sure. Make sure you go back and listen to the podcast. We have the interview with the owner of the Blues, Tom Stillman, aired here on Monday. We had Carrie and Sarah in today. We've been, you know, kind of all over the place this week in terms of covering culture and covering movies and covering sports while we're at it. So I hope you all have enjoyed it. It's certainly been an experiential couple of days here, kind of steering the ship all on my lonesome, but with Matt next to me, we've been able to power through. So thank you, sir. It's been appreciated. That we've had a good couple days with it. So I think we're going to be heading into the three stars of the show today. Third star, what you got, Matt?
I'm going to go with Sarah and Carrie. Duel.
Yes, indeed. As I choke my monster.
Good time for a drink.
Good time for a drink. Timed that pretty well. Second star of the day, definitely the text inbox. A good conversation here coming in toward the end of the show, dealing with all the exciting stuff going on with the league. And your number one star of the day, definitely Matt Davis, hammering out all the professional radio stuff, taking me into unscheduled breaks, making sure that I don't burn things down in here. Just about as good as it gets. Best in the business.
Thank you, Jeff.
Of course, of course.
I almost called you Brad again. I'm sorry.
See, that's all right. That's all right. Weird. That's okay. You're used to it being Brad. I totally understand it. We're used to him being here as well. This has been Game Time AM on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HG2 and InsideSTL.com. Podcast will be up shortly. Covered the gamut today. Indy 500, Bachelorette, road trips to Indianapolis, the Nashville Predators, the St. Louis Cardinals. If you thought about it this morning, we probably talked about it. Thank you again for listening. Show cannot exist if you're not listening to it. Be sure to go ahead and check us out. Download the podcast. We love you. We'll miss you. We'll see you Tuesday. Have a good holiday weekend.